Okay, we plugged in and we're ready to rumble, Jim West. It's Wednesday, the 31st of January, 2018, here in Sydney, Australia. Jim West, you are plugging in with me from New York for our usual Night Watch podcast. And I will say to the listeners out there, podcasts do very well. So go and get them on my website, crazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. And they mix in there with the usual podcasts and plenty of articles and videos and lots of things going up. And these podcasts also go over to iTunes and I put them up on Facebook as well. And how you going, Jim?
Doing great. Glad to be here, Adam.
Our usual chat fest. Good to break down things happening in the world. And great show last week. Looking at what's happening around and giving a different opinion on things. But what did you think yesterday? I'll start here, Jim. I don't want to bash anybody because I like to front up to people if I'm going to say something. But this Facebook group that I told you to go into, did you have a good time in there?
You don't want to name that group, right?
No, I don't mind naming them. The group is Vaccines Exposed. Basically, I was on Facebook last night and I found out I was a member of this group and I don't know why. I was in there and then when I went in, I recognized some of the admins as trolls. And so basically, from what I can gather, that group started off okay and it was overtaken by these trolls who run an anti-vaccination Facebook page and claim to have thousands of members. But then when you go in there and post an anti-vaccination article, they gang stalk you.
Yeah, and then they
ban you.
Then they ban you and shut you off. And then they delete the conversation.
That's right. Happened to me. But I did have fun and I was just mocking them a little bit. And trolls don't bother me, Jim. I just think it's hilarious. But, you know, what a way to spend your time in such a valuable life. How quick life goes. And to spend it being a spineless, gutless troll, you know, with your snout up the Big Pharma's ring hole. Makes me laugh.
I was wondering if they get paid money or something to do that.
Probably. I think they most likely do, definitely. Yeah.
I've heard there are programs, government programs and pharma programs that can do that. They just troll people who are not politically correct, you know.
But I did go in and just cause a little bit of trouble in there. And I think they got really angry at me because I wanted to get them on doing podcasting with us. And we have some doctors and other people who are willing to debate on live radio shows. And as well as this, I can record it here and asking them to come on and have a chat. They go very crazy and start getting insulting and everything. So that's fine. But I got into big trouble starting to post some ultrasound information in regards to autism, but they jumped on me there. And then I noticed that you were in the group as well. So I emailed you to go and log in and start posting and get to see how quickly they gang up on you. So you got barred as well, but no loss. But I should have taken some screenshots because funnily enough, when I started asking some questions about ultrasound and posting some stuff, you know, all they have is insults and nasty behavior. They don't have any science to back anything up that they say, especially with vaccines, because there's no credible science behind vaccinations at all. So they just have to fall back onto name calling and this sort of thing and got quite nasty. But funnily enough, when I posted some basic ultrasound information and just asking some questions, it was these women. But of course, you don't know because they all got fake profiles, but it seemed to be women who were getting very angry about this information and bombarding me. You can see my screen here. With so-called new information coming out all over the world because the information about ultrasound, of course, with your book and everything, is starting to to spread out everywhere in the world, and a lot of people may be looking into it. They're coming up with all of these articles now on autism being genetic. And one woman said that she could prove it with a genetic factor and everything. And I just simply asked her, can you supply me with this information in regards to autism being strictly genetic, and pass it on to me, and I was going to pass it on to you. And I said that we would give you a detailed explanation with that. And she said that I was bullying her and harassing her when I wasn't. So I wanted to screenshot the articles that she linked me, and I didn't, because they banned me, and so I lost all of it. They put up all this kind of stuff that autism's genetic, but didn't give me a chance to talk to them about it. And with these trolls, this is how they whether they're involved with pharmaceutical industry, most of them would be in some way, shape, or form. With the medical industry, as you know, Jim, this is the way they cover their asses with all the death and disease and destruction that the medical system creates with our children and general public, whether it's vaccines or ultrasounds or, you know, drugs and pills and all this stuff we talk about on this podcast all the time. It's a way for them to cover their asses by just saying that the disease or the condition that you have is genetic, and it can't be tied back to the big pharmaceutical, big industry. And this is what they're doing with anything to do with vaccines, and also now autism. Sold genetic, and the scientists have been in there and they're studying it, and they've discovered that it's genetic. So I thought we'd at least chat about it with you here, about the whole genetic autism thing and ultrasound.
Maybe we could. It has to do with all diseases are either genetic or caused by a germ. That's basically the explanation. I mean, and that this thing of it being your fault all the time, it goes back thousands of years, you know, with the Catholic Church and the sin, and you have to pay for your sins and all that stuff, you know. So it's just a continuation of the same religious dogma, but framed as a fake science, you know, and fake scientific arguments. But it still comes down to the same thing. It's just, they're just trying to convince you it's your fault, you know. So
it's easy to get up on Facebook and just blame everything on genetics.
Right.
But never offer a single fact or link or anything to back any of it up. It's just... I always thought about this. I think it's a real trump card for the medical system and the doctors, you know. And we've talked about this with you, and, you know, women, young women will go in and have a double mastectomy based on no evidence whatsoever that they're genetically going to get breast cancer from their, mother or grandmother and this stuff, that it gets passed on. And, you know, for me, I think a large part genetic like that. Some of it, I'm not sure. It can be quite eerie with genetics, with some things, some conditions. But in general, I think for me, it's just bad health.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you have two people that have kids, and those people are in bad health, and, you know, that rubs off onto the kids, and they grow up eating and living in the same way, and they produce unhealthy offspring, and it goes on.
Well,
you can change things. You know?
Children, they don't inherit. I mean, they inherit from you, but they usually inherit good things. You know, that's the principle of evolution, is to have people evolve in a progressive way. That's the whole point of evolution. What people do is they inherit propaganda. They inherit bad habits from their parents and their siblings, like this whole thing about cooking and not ventilating your gas stove. You know, people don't do that, and they follow the habits of their mother. They watch their mother with hanging over the stove, and then they and then the family gets the flu, and then the children, when they have their family, they have the same habits, hanging around the stove, hanging over the stove, and not ventilating anything, and then they wonder why they have the flu, and then the doctor says, well, did your mother have the flu, you know, or did your mother have cancer or whatever, and you go, well, yeah, well, okay, see, that's proof that it's genetic, you know. Now we have pharmaceuticals to help treat you. We can have stem cell therapy treatments, you know, et cetera, on forever. And you're thinking it's your fault because you're genetically weak, but actually you're just misinformed, and you inherited behavior. You inherited bad habits, you know. So, you know, yeah. So that, and then I've studied the whole genetic thing. It's a lot of it's based on twin studies, what they call twin studies, where they,
I've got some up now, yeah,
where they compare, they compare genetic twins versus fraternal twins, and the genetic twin is usually in the same fetal sac, whereas fraternal twins are in separate sacs, and they're less genetically similar, right? So they compare, you know, they do statistical analysis of disease and the background of people to see whether they're genetic or fraternal twins, and then they come to the conclusion that genetics is a strong factor in disease. However, twin studies, these twin studies are what they call associative studies. They're not really causative studies. And this is acknowledged by the genetic causation industry. They acknowledge that their studies are not, they don't really fill the bill, you know? So, and I quote them in my my last book. You know, it's basically just hocus pocus and a lot of smoke and fog and...
It's a good cover, isn't it?
Yeah, green curtain stuff, you know.
Yeah.
They also do not understand, they do not bother to figure out what is the environmental relationship to twins or genetic twins or fraternal twins. So, and they also, so without that, you can't do a study on genetic causation if you haven't discounted the environmental factors. And they never discount the environmental factors in genetic studies, and they don't do it in germ studies. And this is very obvious. You just have to take any of these studies and look at them. Now, the trick of the twin study is that they claim that they're evaluating environment versus genetic causation. However, they don't look at environment, the environmental factor, within the fundamentals of the twin study itself. So they assume that all twins, that the twins, the genetic and the fraternal twins, in a mother, they assume that twins are, it's based on what they call the EEA, the environmental equality assumption. They're assuming that the twins are equally exposed environmentally to whatever possible toxicological agent that could be. But they have no basis for making that assumption. But that's what twin studies are based on. It's based on the EEA, an assumption of environmental equality. So it's anybody knows that this twin studies are a game. Anybody, all the scientists looking at that, they must know, unless they've blinded themselves, that they're dealing with a moot, debatable concept, you know. So, and then a doctor comes along is even worse, because all he does is say, well, did your grandmother or your aunt or your uncle or your mother ever have cancer or whatever? And then people fall for that and they go, oh, yeah, they did.
The genetic shovel.
Yeah, it's a genetic shovel.
Yeah, golden shovel. Yeah, digging.
Yeah.
I'm sure I read cases where there was identical twins, one with autism, one without.
Right. But that's based on the and because of that, they'll go, okay, there's a 50% environmental factor and a 50% genetic factor. We proved it, right, according to what you're telling me right now. However, that's based on the assumption that the toxicological exposure of these two twins, the genetic and the fraternal twin, was equal, you know, and that the genetic twin got it and the fraternal didn't. You know what I mean? So, but that's false. They can't make that assumption, because if you're doing ultrasound on twins, one twin's probably going to get more ultrasound than the other, and it's also probably going to get that ultrasound in a more critical area. The operator may spend more time examining the brain of one twin than the other.
That's right. That's true.
Or it may mistakenly hold the environmental transducer over the spine of the child, of one child, but not the other. So there's no way you could make the EEA, the environmental equality, equal environment assumption. You can't make that assumption, which is critical and fundamental to the twin study. It can't be made. I mean, it is so, twin studies are so stupid, you know. I'm getting arrogant here, you know, but.
No, I mean, it's amazing. You've mentioned this before, because most of the propaganda that I'm digging up, as you can see now in front of you, they're all from these autism sites. And you were saying that, you know, I mean, if they're so desperately in need for a cure of autism, then why won't these so-called autism foundations and places look at the ultrasound information in your books? Yeah. What you're offering, they won't look at it.
I've sent them emails, you know, to the...
Oh, I know. I'm digging up all the time. It's all from these... they're like the cancer charities.
Right. Generally speaking, I mean, I don't know exactly which agencies and all that, but the bigger and more successful a nonprofit activist group is, the greater the chance that it is being funded by its own target. Like if there's an anti-pharmaceutical group, if it's really successful, the greater the chance that it's probably funded by the pharmaceuticals. That's the result of a book I read decades ago, which documented all this. I mean, it was ridiculous. I wish I could. I couldn't find the book again, though. Unfortunately, that was before I was into my heavy research. But it's a beautiful book written by. Some politician in Washington, D.C., and it seemed like just about every nonprofit was somehow funded by its target, like the lumber anti-logging activists are funded by the lumber industry, you know, I don't want to say exactly who and what, you know, but because I don't have the specifics anymore, but... But I know for a fact the Audubon Society, which is a big environmental group, one of the major, most powerful environmental groups in the United States, I know they're funded by industry, by the polluting industries. Their board of directors consists of mainly the polluting industries. Their board of directors, the higher level, are... A revolving door with governmental environmental executives, and I know the their headquarters in Manhattan is paid for by the leading environmental polluters. So that's just one example. That's one I know for sure. And so, you know, we live in a world of fakery, you know. It's like the Wizard of Oz or something. It's crazy, you know.
Those stats there, Jim? Is that have you got an idea of the autism rates now in the US? It's saying here 1 in 36. Saying up here, that Japan has the highest rate.
Oh, it's one out of 36 in Japan.
No, it's saying here.
I've heard that in some places in the United States, it's like 1 in 36.
I was just saying there at the top, the autism Japan was estimated to have the highest rate of autism, approximately 161 children per 10 million with the disorder. But this one's 1 in 36, but that's age of autism. I don't know about some of these sites, but... Yeah.
Well, I heard that the CDC did a poll, a telephone poll, and they came up with something like 1 out of 50. And then I've heard that in certain states like New Jersey, it's like 1 out of 34.
Is it something you see a lot in the U.S.? For the USA, that's an amazing autism. I mean,
yeah. Well, you see
it's high here as well, getting very high here as well. I know, I've been following it.
Yeah. I'm just saying when you walk around the street, I mean, you do see autistic children here, there. You see children wearing glasses, very young children having vision problems. And you see a lot of ADHD type of children. They're just a little bit out of control. I mean, these things are, I mean, they're sort of common, you know.
We're just sharing screens for our listeners who are thinking, what are these crazy guys doing? These are just some reports from Australia, Jim. Growing up here, I'd never seen anything like this. Here you go. More than 3,000 students with autism enrolled in Western Australian public schools. It's staying here. The teachers are struggling to care for the skyrocketing number of students with autism. While trying to care for other kids as well. So I saved a lot of this. You can see here the autism explosion in Australian schools.
Yeah. Well, that's probably a mild autism, because I a really messed up autistic child is not going to do too well in school, you know. But there's all kinds of degrees, you know. Yeah.
No, well, that's why the teachers, they're complaining. I know the principal foundations and schools and teachers have come out and said they can't deal with it. Some of them are quite problematic.
Right.
And you can see here, how do we teach autistic kids? Because I've mentioned this before, Jim. I was watching American breakfast morning shows like today, and they had all these guests on, and they were talking about, should we be labeling autistic children autistic? You know, is this kind of like insulting to them? Should we just sort of let it slip? And there's this whole thing now that maybe the doctors aren't diagnosing it properly and all of this.
Well, there's so many autistic children nowadays that it's becoming normal. So they have to step back and say, well, maybe we shouldn't insult them. You know,
that's right. You shouldn't say that word. But I'm saying you're seeing all this in all the mainstream articles here. I can go through all of them. They're all there, how the schools are struggling to cope with autistic children in Australia. Here's one from 2017. Mainstream schools struggle to teach children with these autistic disabilities, as they say. But in none of these articles, you're going to get a reason why they're autistic. Nothing said there. And then you got the whole extreme thing of that it's vaccines causing it, but it goes deeper than that. Of course, that's what we're doing here, but it's amazing. But I wanted to bring this one up, Jim, because I didn't get to go through this with you in our last 10 minutes, but this is not a bad article. As I talked to you before about, I don't think our podcast before Christmas where I was going to talk about this got up, and I noticed that a lot of the mama sites that are very popular on Facebook and all around the world, they have some big websites and they cater for the pregnant mums. They're all pushing ultrasounds and saying that it's nonsense that there's anything wrong with ultrasounds, or they're causing autism or anything like that. And so I found this fairly fair, if I would say. So they're saying here the benefits of baby ultrasound. If we could just go through this with you, Jim. Because I think it's important for people who are new to this. They're looking at the benefits of baby ultrasound, okay, and during pregnancy, so due dating. you know, well, is this really an important thing, Jim West? Due dating.
Yeah.
You know, it all, the sex of the baby. You know, people get anxious and they want to know. You can do a blood test if you want, but the mums want to know what sort of, what they're going to have, so they get that done. Confirming twins.
Yeah.
They talk about here and, placenta previa, heart rate monitoring, bonding with baby. Some mothers want a glimpse of their baby in utero as a way to connect with their child.
Yeah, like they're not already connected, you know.
Well, you know,
you've got a baby in your stomach and you're trying to figure out how to connect to it.
You maybe know? We're so used to watching movies, Jim, I don't know. But my point here is I'm looking here and at the benefits, and really what are they? They're cosmetic. Yeah. I mean, any benefit is cosmetic to me. I mean, I can't see why you would really want to risk just for these simple things. Unless, as we've mentioned with you, if there's something desperately wrong, maybe 2 to 3 minutes max they can have a look. I don't know. But you said they can take still pictures as well, which seems better to me.
Well, that still picture thing is difficult. They're saying they can't do it. They say they can do it, but only after doing a video investigation, then they can freeze a frame. But I'm trying to get them, and I'm investigating the ability of them doing only snapshots and no streaming video at all, you know.
If we go through, Jim, some of these risks, and this is from a pretty simple website of baby ultrasound safe, you know, safety and stuff. There's some pretty scary stuff here, Jim. Indeed, it says here, concern about the heat generated by ultrasound machines, an increase in tissue temperature, 1.8 to 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit, is thought to be safe. And we know that's not. Studies have found that ultrasound, either regular pulsed or Doppler technology, and sends a continuous wave of ultrasound rather than the pulses of traditional ultrasound, may heat tissue above the maximum safe level temperature. Yeah, heating tissue, Jim.
Okay, so now they're actually getting into some of the problems of ultrasound. They're admitting there are potential problems.
Yes, that's why I saved it.
Yeah. Well, the heating thing is actually is the most publicized issue, but it's not really an issue. It's not. It's the what they call the non-thermal problems that are the big problems, because it takes a lot of exposure to get the heat to be a problem. So I wouldn't even worry about that. There's going to be a lot of problems before you ever get around to heating the tissue. And that's what they talk about later on in the article.
Animal studies have found a connection between ultrasounds and adverse effects. One study found brain hemorrhages in mouse fetuses exposed to pulsed ultrasound at doses similar to those used on human babies.
Right. That's a study with Pierre Marad in Seattle. Washington, University of Washington, yeah.
Ultrasound diagnostic levels have been shown to produce lung damage and focal hemorrhage in a number of mammal species.
Yeah.
What about humans? A new study out of the University of Washington found a correlation with autistic boys who had ultrasound scans in the first trimester and the severity of the symptoms. Other studies from the 90s, when the ultrasounds were 7 times weaker, showed increased risk of miscarriage. We talked about this as well. All these miscarriages going up, skyrocketing in Australia and especially the UK. We did a podcast on that. One study included over 9,000 pregnant women in two groups, one which received a routine ultrasound at 16 to 20 weeks and one group who didn't. In the group who received an ultrasound at 16 to 20 weeks, there were 16 fetal deaths after the 16 to 20 week period, while there were none in the group that did not receive ultrasound.
Uh-huh.
That's a study. A UK study found that healthy mothers and babies who received two or more Doppler scans to check the placenta had more than two times the risk of prenatal death. Parental death, sorry, compared to babies unexposed to Doppler. That's what they tried to push on us. Additionally, new studies from China, which links up to your first great book, 50 Human Studies, point to ultrasound carrying risks, including autism again, ADHD, another big one, genetic damage, jaundice, childhood cancers, and allergies, because we know that increases in maternal temperature can cause birth defects. And it makes sense that if ultrasound raises the mother's body temperature, even locally, that the baby may suffer from birth defects, Jim.
Yeah, well, the whole thing about temperature is a little bit of a false lead. There's a lot to worry about before you start talking about temperature rise.
Mm.
But it's a good article, you know.
Again, yeah, talking about, this is what I mentioned to the doctor as well, it isn't going to improve or change any outcomes.
Right.
And they keep pushing them.
You know what's funny is that the doctors will go, well, you know, we have to worry about this and we have to worry about that, and there's a 1% chance this could happen or that could happen, and they want to do more and more ultrasounds to make sure you have absolutely no problems. And then when it comes down to birth, they give you a cesarean section. And they don't even show up for watching a movie, so they order a cesarean section.
That's right, and this is very interesting here, Jim. It says ultrasounds have not been shown to improve infant outcomes, but may be increasing the rate of interventions used in pregnancies. One study found that knowledge of estimated fetal weight independently increased a woman's risk of having a C-section. They're pushing that big time here. Oh. To me, go into a private hospital in Australia, you're going to get a C-section whether you want it or not.
Well, ultrasound itself is an intervention, you know.
Yeah, that's right. But it's increasing the interventions. They intervene and then it goes downhill from there.
They like to call ultrasound non-invasive, but what do you call 9 megahertz radiation, you know, for 20 minutes to an hour? That's not invasive, right. You know?
And it says here why an 8 to 12 week ultrasound is unnecessary. Some doctors will do an ultrasound at your first appointment to confirm the pregnancy.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's well known to be a higher risk situation.
Avoid 3D and 4D ultrasounds, Jim.
Yeah, it's a more complex waveform. It gives the cells of the prenatal fetus more to deal with, you know.
And even the FDA warns against getting 3D or 4D type ultrasounds in their report. They state that ultrasounds can heat tissues, again with the heating, Jim, and in some cases produce very small bubbles of cavitation in some tissues.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're talking about heat and cavitation because that's a politically correct way to talk about risk, because it's unlikely that you're going to have heat and cavitation.
That's right.
But there are other problems you're going to have before you have heat and cavitation. But, they're just dealing with the legacy of political correctness within the science of ultrasound.
Yeah. And, we're just talking about a few things here. I'm just unraveling how deep the rabbit hole goes there, Jim, with ultrasound, because what we're mentioning here is a tiny, tiny amount. People need to get your books. Just on the surface here, we're just looking at a basic website and what they're saying here, but this is frightening for anybody wanting to go in and do that, you know, when you compare the risks against what you get in return, and you pay for it as well, you know, they're like $150 per ultrasound, you know, and you do find they hang on there for way too long, you know, it's just absolutely the whole treatment seems unnecessary.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you know what? A woman will read this and she will be convinced that it's bad, and then she'll talk to her doctor, And she'll instantly change her mind because they know what to say that is convincing to a woman, you know. A woman doesn't want to be guilty for having done the wrong thing. You know, nobody does, you know.
That's right.
So that guilt.
Yeah, and then when you've done the ultrasounds and something happens to your child later, you don't want to accept that it may have been those ultrasounds that that caused the problems.
But it's a herd thing, you know, because even if ultrasound caused your child's problem, it wasn't your fault. You know, you were just part of the herd getting an ultrasound, like everybody gets an ultrasound. So they're protecting themselves from guilt, from possibility of guilt, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's a stronger instinct than protecting the child. It appears, you know.
Jeez, I've opened up a can of worms, haven't I?
I guess so. Shame on you.
Do you think I'm boring people with the ultrasound?
I don't know. Is there anything more exciting around?
I don't know. I just can't help myself.
You know,
it's just so interesting.
We're talking about the mass attack on.
I don't know. I'm seeing all these advertisements on TV to help children with all these blood cancers now, Jim.
Okay, that sounds like ultrasound, you know.
Yeah, blood cancers and the way they normalize it and on there, but you know, I'm actually seeing it on the mainstream TV now. And I'm thinking, my God, you know, young children with blood cancer filling up the hospitals are full, you know. It's no, as you said, with the ultrasound, no one's sort of looking at what this is, why this is all happening, and why it's going on.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely the. You know, the vaccines are causing a lot of problems. I was just looking in the other day, the Nagalase, some ingredient in vaccines that stops the children's bodies from producing vitamin D. I've heard a long time that some of these childhood vaccines have stealth cancer weapons in them. Could be causing a whole lot of problems as well.
Chemically speaking.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're adding to the ultrasound, but I really do believe that the damage needs to be pre-existing. You know, it's like a bowling pin, Jim. It needs to be set up by the machine so you can knock it down.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like we need to be prepped in order for that takedown to happen. And I think that's the ultrasound is doing that initial prepping in the womb, which is what you write about so dearly, so, you know, so incredibly. And looking at it, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I wouldn't be injected with these vaccines. I'd jump out of a 10-story building before you get one into me. But I think there's a whole thing going on here. And still, I can't find many people that are willing to open their minds and discuss this. How's your books going, Jim? Any change in the ultrasound causation hypothesis?
Well, it's
and the new two books coming out.
There is a steady interest which has continued for the last several years. It's not taking over the world, but it's a steady interest and it's just interest that people are paying for. So I know they're taking it seriously. You know, it's something about when you pay a little money for something that you tend to read it more carefully. You know, it's just the way people are. So I'm very happy to see people genuinely interested in it, and then I have these other books, and I don't know if I said before, but there's a Spanish publication group which is reviewing my Brazil hypothesis that the Brazil microcephaly epidemic was caused by ultrasound, and they're taking that seriously, and I'm not going to say where that's going, but I'm very optimistic about that. It's in the fire. It's in the frying pan. It's being cooked. You know, we'll see what happens.
And the two accompanying books.
There's two after that.
Yep.
And they're practically ready to be published, but I'm actually gathering material from the first book. To sort of modify these second two books. It's all about microcephaly and ultrasound, you know.
Well, we would say, Jim, what's behind the mirror, folks, you know? Yes, vaccines and GMOs and many, many environmental, you know, conditions to take into account, Jim, and many things that are poisoning us. But we need to look behind the mirror at what's doing the initial damage here. It's very important to continue with this. But your website, Jim, is harvoa.org, harvoa.org, and the books are up there, Ultrasound Causation, the new one, Microcephaly, Zika Virus, etc. And your original great book, Jim, 50 Human Studies, a New Bibliography, great book, 50 Human Studies in Utero, indicate extreme risk for prenatal ultrasound, Jim West, and you've also got your other amazing book up there, DDT Polio. Boy, that shuts the trolls up. Virology versus toxicology, pesticides and polio. Yeah, didn't answer me on that one last night. That's fine. I didn't expect an answer, especially when I told them to come on debate tonight, gave them the time and said to give me your Skype number, come on debate about polio and DDT. No one, they ignored. I got blocked. Anyway, a great book there for people to get, and people can go onto the website and purchase those books, Jim.
And there's a lot of free information too. There's no
impetus. There is. It's a great website.
Yeah, there's no impetus to buy anything. There's a I've overly detailed the summaries of these books, so you can get everything you need through the summaries if necessary.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jim. Well, I sorry to bore everyone with my ultrasound fascination, but we continue. I actually have more. Sorry, but I have more.
We'll have to hit the current events on the next podcast.
Yeah, I didn't get to go into the flu vaccine guy on your news over there. Fox and Friends host goes anti-vaxxer amid deadly flu epidemic.
Right.
Brian Kilmeade? Is that his name?
I guess.
Kilmeade, yeah. Kilmeade. He just told viewers he doesn't want to get a flu shot on air. And he's been condemned. They're going to take him out and hang him, Jim.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to get a flu shot.
He thought that his daughter could gain a natural immunity just by getting through her flu.
How dare he?
Right. He said that on public TV, you know.
Yeah. And what is it by Hayley Miller? Yeah, they've come in and attacked him through the Huffington Post, who push vaccinations and drugs like pharmaceutical reps on steroids.
Yeah.
These people are shameless. I wonder when they lost their souls, Jim. These reporters and people, I wonder when they lost their souls and just didn't care anymore.
Well, you know, Fox News is a major publishing and media zone there. And I think it was Hannity. Was it Hannity? No, it was Tucker. Tucker Carlson, one of the hosts there. He actually interviewed Robert F. Kennedy on the whole issue of vaccines, anti-vaccines. And they both decried the censorship that was ongoing. Now, that was also a very brave move by a major host on TV.
Gee, that is unheard of in this country, Australia, man.
That was a couple months ago.
You guys are a little bit more rogue there, you know, more flexible. You're gonna see more in the US. I think it's gonna get more and more. But here, oh man, it's the shutters are down. That's not gonna happen. Yeah, but you see what happens. Someone who's on television just says they don't want to get a flu shot, and they just absolutely try and annihilate them and ruin their careers. Because they don't want to give their daughters poison, you know. It's an amazing thing. Anyway, I think I posted that on the website so people can read it anyway.
And if anybody doubts the fakery involved in flu propaganda, they can always read John Rappaport's material.
Yeah, we've been pushing that a lot, Jim. And, you know, of course, with the cold winter in the US, yeah, that's all they care about, pushing the flu shot. If you watch that, I'll send it through to you anyway, Jim, the actual show. There was this doctor, he looked like a Dracula.
Oh, he was horrible.
He was pushing everyone to get a flu shot.
Well, he was insulting Brian from the very beginning when he began to talk about the flu. And so, because I think he knew Brian might come up with something like that. So he was already, like, everybody had these little masks over their mouth. The show opened up like that, you know. And and he was saying that Brian needed to wear a mask whether or not there was a flu epidemic. So he was insulting him right away, trying to put him in a corner, you know.
I really do hope, Jim, I will go into this next week, but I really do hope that if all this gets blown out of the water, especially what's happening in Australia, it's criminal behavior to the max. I hope that we see prosecutions, and I hope we see these media people who are spreading fear-mongering and, you know, lies and propaganda. I hope we see them being prosecuted and put in prison.
Well, you know, the beauty of the internet is everything's recorded. All the names are there. So if the time ever happens where there's going to be some justice, there's going to be a lot of money to be made in the Justice Department.
That's what I'm saying. Well, in Australia, you know, they're treating parents like criminals. They're actually calling them criminals, and they're calling them child abusers and baby killers. They're saying now that should these people be, you know, can the police arrest them and all this? They're trying to crack down on parents who simply don't want to vaccinate their kids, and their kids are healthy like mine. And this is utter discrimination in Australia happening. And I'm just thinking if this gets exposed and you're going to see parents who have been discriminated against by media personalities and, you know, these columnists like these nitwits and clowns, you're going to see them suing. And I hope you see prison time for these, media people. I want to see prison time.
Well,
there
should be a lot of doctors and politicians, et cetera, that should be, they should at least be let go, so to speak, without pensions and stuff, you know.
That's right. Why should we fund them into their graves?
Right, right.
And, and the thing is, these media columnists like this, they never offer any credible evidence or science to back up anything they're saying. They just insult people. And I just can't understand how they continually get away with it, you know. Because there's laws in Australia, you know, anti-discrimination type laws where you can be in serious trouble for just fighting with a neighbor or if they're from another country and calling them a name or something, you know. But these people can just act like crazed hyenas in their newspapers and TV channels and get away with murder, absolute murder, and say whatever they want and insult whoever they want and never back themselves up and never have an open debate or discussion about the drugs and vaccines and things they push, you know. They just get away with it all the time, and they smirk and they laugh. And I would have thought in Australia now, with so many people waking up and what's happening here, because it's going to turn into a nightmare for these people. I thought they would might back off a little bit and at least try and do some fair reporting, but they've got nastier and uglier. So there you go.
You know, we are now into the 48-minute zone.
All right, Jim, we better go. We better go. And I know you love talking about the media and their lies, and John Rappaport does as well. And he's done some great articles on it, but we will continue. We will.
Next week.
We will, Jim.
That's right.
All right. Plugging out of the Matrix.
Yeah, plugging out.